حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
We have been speaking about the effects of Iman and what effects does Iman have on a person. And when we look at Usul al-Din, and when we accept the fundamentals of Islam, that is the Usul al-Din, what effects do that faith, does having faith in those things have on a person? Yesterday, we went through Tawheed and the Iman in Tawheed, and how when a person accepts Allah, it's one thing, but to accept Him as Allah is another thing. Those who have faith in Allah, you see that their Iman, whatever the faith they have, you see, does not have an effect in their lives. And those who have faith in Allah as Allah is, those are the people whose life is affected by Allah and by this Iman they have in Allah. And we see an example of that, so that we can understand this in a strong way. For example, if someone wants to do something illegal, something against the law, something criminal, then he would go to a place where he will be sure that no one can see him. He will go to a place where when he sees that no one is able to notice his activities, then it will be easier for him to do what he does. And he goes on with his illegal activities and does his crime. Why? Because of the fact that he knows no one is watching. No one knows what he is doing. But if he gets a hint that he is being watched, or that the law knows about him, if he gets a hint that the law knows about him, then you will see that from the next day he will not do what he is doing. If there is a raid at his place and he knows that he is being watched and they are going to come, then you know that he won't be there waiting for the raid to happen. He will be absent and he will be gone. And the reason he's gone is because he knows that someone is watching. He knows that someone knows about what he's doing. So now, you see, until a person does not know that someone is knowing what he does, you see, it does not affect his life or what he does. Only when someone knows that someone else knows what he is doing, and the law and authority knows what he is doing, then and then only you see that his life will be affected by that knowledge he has of that someone else is knowing him. This is the reason that many people who accept Allah, you see their lives do not change. Their lives are not affected. But once you believe that Allah is the Alim, then you see your life is affected. Only then will your life be affected. This is the reason Iman in Tawheed means not just having Iman in the word of Allah or the identity of Allah, but also having Iman in every other attribute of Allah that he knows, that he sees, so that when you have this knowledge of that and understanding of that, when you believe in Allah as an alim, that's when your life will be changed. That is what is going to affect your life. And hence we see that the effect of Tawheed is that one becomes Muttaqi. That is the effect that when we have Iman in Tawheed, it means that we have that the change that comes into our life is that we become Muttaqi. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And this is something that we went through yesterday. And now we see that after understanding that, the next thing to understand is the fact that when we also believe that Allah is Adil, and in the Adl and justice of Allah, this is the next Usul al-Din. So now, what is the effect of having Iman in the Adl of Allah in our lives? What does that entail, and what is the effect of having Iman in the fact that Allah is Adil? This is something that we must also understand. And before we even go into this, to know the fact that what is the effect in our life of having Iman in the fact that Allah is Adil, we should first know what is Adl and Zulm. First we should know what Adl is. We should know what is Zulm, the opposite of Adl. So that we have an understanding of what is the effect of Adl in our lives. In language, and according to language, the definition of Adl is وَضْءُ شَيْءٍ عَلَى مَحَلِّهِ, to put a thing in its proper place. This is called Adl. Whenever something is put in its proper place, this is called Adl. And if you take that thing out of its place, this is called Zulm. So Adl is what? To put a thing in its place. Zulm is what? To take a thing out of its place. So now when we see the meaning of Adl and Zulm, and when we see the whole world as it explains to everyone else about Zulm, and we see all these other groups of people who say that we are oppressed or unjustly dealt with, so now we see that whenever anyone says that he is a victim of Zulm, it means that he has made a place for himself. See, understand what I'm saying. Adl means to put it, to put a thing in its place. Zulm means to take a thing out of its place. So now, if I, for example, have already made a place for myself, and said that my place should be the member, and if I am not able to get the member, then I'll say that I'm Mazloom. Understand that? Because I haven't got what I should deserve. And if I did get the member, then I say this is Adl. there's justice. So you understand that? So now everyone who cries zulm in this world and oppression in this world, they have all made a place for themselves. If they did not get what they made for themselves as a proper place, then they all say this is zulm. And if they do get it, then they all say this is adl. For example, I want to be the king. I want to be the king. So now if I don't become the king, I say this is zulm. I say this land is all zulm. Because I made a place for myself and I didn't get it. And then someone else wanted to become king and he got the place. He said, no, there is adl in this land. Why? Because he got that. So now the issue of what is adl and zulm will be decided later. At first we should decide whose place is what. First we must decide whose place is what. When that will be distinguished, whose place is what, then it will be known if it's adl or zulm. Then it will be known whether this is justice or injustice. But if the place itself is not ascertained yet, if you don't know your place yet, so how would you know this is zulm or how would you know this is adl? See, understand what I'm saying, so that we understand what is adl and what is zulm. Because adl, it's easy to say this is adl because I made a place for myself and I got it. I want to be on that chair. I want to be the VP of the bank. And I think that I deserve it. This is my place. And if I don't get it, I say this is injustice here. There's racism here. Why? Because I didn't get it. Because I didn't get it, it's racism, it's injustice, it's discrimination, and so on and so forth. Because I made a place for myself, I think that's my place. Whether it is or it's not even decided yet. Whatever basis we made it on, we think that's ours. If we don't get it, this is zulm. And if we do get it, we think this is adl. But the point is, the whole issue in the whole world and everything that's happening in the world, wherever zulm is taking place, the major issue in all of these things is that the proper place of everything is not decided yet. What is the place for everything? Once you decide what the place is, then after that, if you get that thing, it's adl. If you don't get it, it's zulm. But here, everyone agrees that if you put this thing in the proper place, this is called justice. They all agree on the meaning of justice. But the only issue is, whose place is that? Who deserves that? That is the thing that is in... at the issue here. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Ali! Hazri!
Ali!
So now we see, my brothers and sisters, if you are going along with me, this is what language says. The definition of adl in the dictionary. This is what it says. What it said, to put a thing in its proper place. And then we see that Islam has another definition. Islam has another definition. And the definition that Islam has, if you pay attention here, if you see the definition that Islam has, is also like this definition, but it's a little bit different. It's a little bit different. Here we see Islam says that adl means i'ta'u dhi haqqin haqqun. Adl means to give the right to the person who deserves the right. It means to give the haq to the possessor of the haq. Whoever is the rightful owner of that thing, give his right. This is called adl. If he gets this right, this is adl. If he does not get it, it's zulm. This is what Islam says. And now you see, haq, all Islam did is say that, listen, language people are saying that place has to be ascertained. That if you know the place, then if you put the thing in its proper place, then this is adl. Islam is saying, no, that is right. But we are just going to make one other thing. We're going to add one more thing. And what is that? We are going to say, whoever's right is that. If they get their right, this is how, this is other. If they do not get their right, this is zulm. So now all Islam did is say that, listen, those who have haq, if they get it, this is other. If they don't get it, this is zulm. So now when we see, when we look at this, and when we see this, please send me a salawat.
Allah salam Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
One more salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
Alright, inshallah. Now if you can pay attention here, then we can, inshallah, go on from here. Send me one more salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad.
So now we see that all Islam did is to say that no, place, if you say place, then the meaning and the definition of place will be vague. It will be vague. It's indistinct. You would not know. Everyone can say, this is my place. Everyone can say, this is my place. And hence, if you say, this is my place, then you will feel that you have a right to it. But Islam says, no, whoever has the right to it, if he gets his right, then this is other. So Islam made it narrow. And he made the meaning narrow. Reason is because place is vague. But having a right is distinct. It is clear. It is obvious. Because as long as you have a right to something, then whatever will happen after that will be other than zulm. So before you say this is zulm, first you must establish the fact that this is your right. Islam says before you even say that this is zulm, establish the fact that this is your haq. This is your right. If you establish the fact that this is your right, then it will be known whether it's adl or zulm.
Subhanallah.
But if you do not establish the right that you have, then there is no issue of adl and zulm because it's not your right in the first place.
Yes.
You see that, my brother? It's not your right in the first place. If it's not your right, then adl cannot be established, nor zulm, because only adl can only happen if this is your right and you get it. Zulm can hopefully happen if this is your right and you don't get it. And so Islam made it clear and said we cannot just say place, we have to say haq, because haq, you cannot make it for yourself, it has to be given to you. Haq has to be given to you. This is the reason why we see that every position that comes, every issue that comes, first of all, that place, that haq must be established. Who's going to give this haq to you? Who's going to give this haq to you? Who's going to make this your haq? This, my brothers and sisters, if we can understand this, we will know the difference between adl and zulm. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
You know, I said the example. For example, I want to be the king. I want to be the king. We all want to be the king. We all want to rule. It's good to be the king. Because you can give orders then, right? It's good to be the king. So what happens is that when we all want to be the king, when we all want to rule, for example, I want to be the king, so now I say that this is my right. This is my right that I should be the king. So now, the issue comes, who gave you that right? Who gave you that right? Did the person who has authority over this chair give you that right? This throne or chair that you're sitting on, did the person who had the authority over it, did he give you that right? Did Allah give you that right? Or did the person who made the chair and throne give you that right? Because even then we see the person who makes the chair, he has the right to make the chair, but he doesn't have the right to appoint someone on the chair. Yes. See that? Mm-hmm. The one who makes the chair, he can make it, but he doesn't have the right to appoint someone to it. So now, who has the right to appoint you? Who gave you this right? Isham. No one did. I feel this is my right. So if this is the case, then everyone will feel that way. If Haq is left in the hands of people, if the decision for Haq is left in the hands of people, then everyone have a claim to a right, they will make a right for themselves. I want to be king, you want to be king, everyone wants to be king. Everyone has a claim to that throne. And this is the reason Haq would never be distinguished whose right it is. This is the reason Islam had made an aqidah and said, no, only person who can give Haq to you, the only one who can give you that right to do anything and to hold any position is the one who made this and the one who is the maker of everyone.
Yes.
He is the one who can give you that right. He is the one who is able to give you that authority and say, this is your right. Whatever basis he does it on, that's his business. But as long as he is deciding it, then the ones who have the capability for it have the right to it. Those who don't have the ability for it do not have the right for it. This is the reason Allah is going to decide who holds what position. Allah is going to decide who holds what, who has what right. And whenever that right is decided and established from Allah, then if they get that right, if the world gives them that right, then it will be adl. And if the world does not give them that right, then it will be zulm. People who say adl and zulm, they don't even know what they're talking about. Adl and zulm is not decided about what you want and what you desire and what you have made to be your claim. Adl and zulm can only happen when Allah's position is established on a certain issue. When Allah's position is established on a certain issue and He says this will be your Khalifa, if you accept Him it will be adl, if you reject Him it will be zulm.
Yes, yes, yes.
Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala
Muhammad. Salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
And this is the reason that we see, my brothers and sisters, this is the reason that we see that when we look at this, when we see how Allah has made a haq for people. If He said, this is your haq, if you get that haq, then it is adl. If you do not get it, then this is zulm. This is zulm. And hence, Allah, when He made the position, when He gave the position, and He told Ibrahim, when Ibrahim said, that make leaders out of my progeny. He said, what about, he made dua for his progeny, his lineage, that give the message to my progeny, make them your messengers, make them your imams. Allah said, I will do that, Ibrahim. The messenger will come through your lineage, the imams will come through your lineage, but this haq cannot be held by those who are zalim. By those who are zalim. This is the reason He said, the haq is for those people that Allah has appointed them. And if those people are not adil, then they cannot be from here. If they do zulm, it cannot be from here. This is the reason those who came from Ibrahim's clan and those who had the message from him, only person who became a messenger out of the lineage of Ismail was our Rasulullah.
Yes.
He was the only one who became there. So now whoever accepted him, then that will be adl. And whoever rejected him, that will be zulm. And those imams that came from Ibrahim's lineage, those who accepted him, then that will be adl. Those who rejected him will be zulm. This is the reason. Those who are zalim, they can never hold the right that Allah has given to you. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Ali Hadri.
Ali.
Now you see, my brothers, here, a lot of times when we look at this issue, we see this issue and we must understand this issue in a very deep way so that we really know what is happening and what happens to us. A lot of times when we have claim to something, when we lose our right, then how easy it is for us to become a victim and cry out zulm and say this is oppression. And you can look at your own life and see the examples you have in your life. Whenever you feel you're victimized, you see right away, you say, this is zulm, this is wrong. And at times you're waiting for some things to happen so that you can file a lawsuit. At times we see a lot of people, they want to be hit by someone, but hit by someone who's rich. Why? Because they want like, because to them, if even though that wasn't their right, but just they have a claim to that right, how fast they are to claim it. Imagine this, how fast they are to claim that right. This is my right, I'll get it. And they see, and when we see the right of those that Allah has appointed being taken away from them, then those people we do not even worry about. It means the right that Allah has appointed. If Allah has appointed, it means it's established. The rights we have are not even established yet. We make them for ourselves. This is my right. But you see, this is how it goes on. And so now, if you understood the meaning of zulm and adl, now let us go and see what is the meaning when we say Allah is adl. What is the meaning or what do we mean by when we say that Allah is adil? Or the adl of Allah, the justice of Allah. What do we mean by that? The meaning of Allah is adil means that He does not leave anything that is good and he does not do anything that is evil. So everything that emanates from Him is good and nothing evil can ever emanate from Him. Meaning whatever He does is good. This is what we say or what we mean when we say Allah is Adil. And this is what Allah does. Because whatever He does is good. And evil you cannot attribute to Him because He does not do it. Understand this. If we see that Allah's justice means that He does good, He does not do evil, meaning good is existing in Him, evil does not exist in Him. Good has the right to exist, evil does not have the right to exist. And I want you to understand this meaning. When we say that Allah is Adil, we mean that whatever Allah does is good and evil does not emanate from Him. He cannot do evil. So evil does not exist in Him, nor in His actions, nothing. It is only good that emanates from Him. Understand this. This is the meaning when we say that Allah is Adil. He only does good, meaning good does not, that good exists in Him and it has the right to exist in Him. And evil does not have the right to exist in Him. Now if you understood that, now let me see when we say that we are Adil, what does it mean? See, at the time we say that this mujtahid is Adil, this alim is Adil, this mu'min is Adil, what does that mean? When we say, you know, this person is Adil, Adil and Adalat, justice for us is different. There the definition is those who do not leave their obligations and those who do not do any haram, these are called Adil. Adalat in us is what? A person who does his wajibat and does not do haram things. This is called a person who's Adil. And I want you to understand these meanings because all these meanings are the same. The idea is the same. Just the words are changing. In Allah, it was good and evil. In humans, it's wajib and haram. Understand this? It's the same thing. Meaning, for Allah, good exists, evil does not have the right to exist. In humans, wajib must exist. Haram must not have the right to exist. So now if you see the difference between us, now you will see why is it that Allah did not say that you should also do what is good and not do what is evil. See, understand this, my brothers. Why did Allah tell us that adl in me is good and evil? I do good, I don't do evil. Then He could have said the same thing to us. He said, listen, you also do good and you shouldn't do evil. So now what happens is that if He had said that, then everyone would have made a good for himself, would have made an evil for himself. A thief would say, listen, it's good to steal. A liar would say, it's good to lie. Someone who doesn't pray, he says, it's not harming me, it's good. So now you see, anyone who wants to do any wrong, he can say that what he is doing is good. And what he doesn't do is evil. So everyone makes their own good. Everyone makes their own evil. Allah said that for Himself it is good and evil. Because Allah is the only one that whatever He does is good. And evil is that which He doesn't do. And I give that rule to if I give that rule to my people, then those people will make up good for themselves, will make evil for themselves, and they will go on doing it. This is the reason I said, adalat and justice is not going to be defined by good and evil in you. It will be defined by wajib and haram in you. Because you cannot make up wajibat. No. You cannot make up haram. You have to listen to what Allah has said and obey. Yes. And if you obey what Allah has said, then your adalat will be known. Mm-hmm. Salawat ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Nare Hedri.
Yaudi.
So my brothers, understand this. This is the reason why Allah has mentioned, no, in you, adalat will be wajibat and muharramat. If you do the obligation that Allah has sent you, then, and if you don't do those things that Allah has made haram for you, then your adalat, your justice will be known. Your justice will be known. Otherwise, good and evil is only from Allah. His standard is good and evil. Your standard is that which Allah has shown you, because we there cannot make up our own selves what is wajib and what is haram. That is why to us it is obedience and to Him it is wilayat. He is the authority to it. From Him emanates the good. That good comes in the form of wajibat. The evil that doesn't exist comes in the form of muharramat. So now we see all of these things, adl is the same in everything. In terms of language, in terms of ahkam, in terms of Allah, in terms of us, adl is the same everywhere. But just the words are changing. Those people of language say adl is defined by place. Those people in ahkam say adl is defined by haq and right. Those people, and when it comes to Allah, then adl is defined by good. When it comes to us, adl is defined by wajib. Doing the wajib things. Now my brothers, if you understood what is adl and zulm here, now let me go on. And now let me come to my conclusion. So now if you see this, then it shows that everything in the world Allah has made through this justice. And everything in this world has a balance between good and evil. It has a balance. Everything, and we know now, through advancement of science, we know now that it is said that if one thing in this universe He said that if you move one thing from its place, there would be devastation. Just move one thing from its place. Just a mile. I don't like the moon here, let me move it this way. You will see there will be devastation. There will be destruction. You see, everything is working in a balance. Even when we look at our own self, just imagine ourselves that if Allah placed these eyes in a different position, they're not where they are. Let's say, for example, they are somewhere else, behind our head. See, imagine this. Or you have one eye over here on your forehead. And you look like someone else, but you do not look like a human. You see, everything when we look in ourselves, everything has been placed in a place. Everything has its place. If you move that thing from its place, there will be destruction. It will mess up the whole system. Just if you put the wrong blood in someone else's body, imagine, you can kill him. Destruction. Imagine that. Allah has made a place for everything. This whole universe and the system of this universe, the order of this universe that is within us and this order of this universe is the best proof of Allah's adalat. He has put everything in its proper place. Everything has been put in its place. So now if you move that one thing from that place, it will destroy everything. It will mess up everything. So imagine this. Now if we can understand this concept, when we look around us, we see this concept. Now we see if anything that Allah has placed is moved from its place, what are the damages that will come later? What are the effects that will come later? And this is the reason we have understood this in the universe. We have understood this in our own self. But when it comes to the rule that Allah gave us and appointed for us a ruler, there we never understood this fact without understanding that Allah's system is such that if you move that thing from its place, you are going to destroy it. And those who move the ruler that Allah had given to the people, that is what is leading these Muslims to their destruction.
Yes.
Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
This is why, my brothers, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam have said,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
He said, Al-Mulk يبقى مع الكفر ولا يبقى مع الظلم. He said that mulk, a rule, any country, it can last, it can remain with kufr, but it cannot remain with dhulm. It can remain with kufr. You can have a leader who's kufr, you can have a system that is kafir, it can go on and it can remain. But if this ruler is a zalim, if he is unjust, then that rule cannot remain. It cannot remain. Because when zulm is done, when a thing is taken out of its proper place, then it leads to destruction. It doesn't mean it will destroy itself right away.
Oh, yeah.
See, understand, my brothers, what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It doesn't destroy itself right away. It's not, for example, you move it and an explosion happens. When it falls, when it goes away, then you see it goes away. But eventually it will go away. It cannot last. When zulm has been done, when you take a thing from its place and the right of that person away from him, that cannot last. Let me give you an example. You drink a glass of cold water. And they told you not to drink it, but you drink it. And what do you get? You get a cold. I have a cold. So when you get it, at the time you drank it, you were all right. Now you have a cold. So now when you do get a cold, and they say, listen, you shouldn't drink more. I said, it's only a cold. It's only a cold. So I go ahead and take some ice cream. Then I get some flu. First it was cold, now I get a flu. And it's only a flu. Then the next step, I drink something else, then I get pneumonia. This pneumonia, this is something that we can deal with. And the next step is, Inna Lillah. Yes. But what happened, my brothers, understand this. When you had that cold, why did it happen? Because something was misplaced. Because there was zone that was done, and there was imbalance that was caused. And it because of that imbalance, you had this problem. Now when that imbalance, you added to it, it increased. It doesn't go away. It can only go away when you put it in its proper place and you create the balance again. Understand this. And if you go on doing wrong, then this will go on, this zulm will go on and it will continue. The body can only bear this zulm for only a time before it breaks. Allah's whole system, this universe, every place that you go, everything that is there, it can only bear zulm for a certain amount of time. And after that time, it can only break. This is the reason. Any rule, any country, any nation that is based on zulm can only handle that zulm for a time. And after that, it has to break.
Yes.
It has to break. This is the natural consequences of zulm. The only way it can be rectified is if adl is put in its place. If you have adl in its place, if you rectify it, and if you put it in its proper place, that's the only way you see. That's the only way you see that it is able to continue, it is able to go on. This is the reason why we see that when the right was taken away from Imam Ali, when the right was taken away from Imam Ali, how long did it last before Allah showed His mercy to the people and brought them back to Imam Ali? Mm-hmm. 25 years. That's all it took. Meaning, it was Allah's mercy that He brought them back to Imam Ali after 25 years. Otherwise, if they did not come back to Imam Ali, and Imam Ali had not, and if Imam Ali was not put in his proper place as the ruler of the Muslims, then you would see that this would have destroyed the Muslim Ummah. It is through that mercy that it came back. But we see that when he did come back, the elements of that zulm were not gone away yet. The elements of that zulm did not go away yet, but Imam Ali established adalat. He knew that zulm was done, and the thing that he established was adl, was justice. And he established justice in such a way that it gave a lesson to this ummah. It gave a lesson to this ummah that adl is that thing. If you leave it, then there is no hope for your existence in the future. He established adl in this way. This was Imam Ali's adl. And this, his adl was such that people, many of them who were used to zulm, who were used to injustice, hated him for that. They hated him for the fact that because they're used to injustice, they're used to getting bribes and free money on the side. They're used to unlawful things. Now when Imam Ali came and made it such, he made it such that now you see that adl was established. Now those elements rose up. And it came to the day and to the night and in the morning of the 19th of Ramadan. Imam Ali And we have heard this yesterday, Imam Ali, as he went to the masjid, and where he met Ibn Muljim, his would-be killer. And he told Ibn Muljim, I know what your intention is. But justice dictates that I cannot do anything to you until you do your crime. And now we see the adl of Imam Ali and the justice of Imam Ali. That the same person, Ibn Muljim, now he came in and he killed him and he hit him with a sword. And when he hit him with the sword, you see, my brothers and sisters, that sword that hit Imam Ali on the head, you see, imagine it this way. If a car goes and hits another car that is standing still, then the accident is bad, but it's not really bad. And if that car was moving somewhere else and you hit it from behind, then the accident is bad, but it's not as bad. But if the car is moving in your direction, and if you are moving in that direction, and if these two cars hit each other, then imagine that the damage would be more. If you understood this example, then you would know that Imam Ali's head was coming up, and Ibn Muljim's sword was going down when it hit the head of Imam Ali. And it hit him in such a way that it sent him back into sajda. It sent him back into sajda, and his sword went into the head of Imam Ali. And this tragedy was such in Masjid-e-Kufa. This tragedy was such that even Angel Jibreel was crying in the sky. تَحَدَّنَتُ وَاللَّهِ أَرْكَانَ الْهُدَىٰ The foundations of guidance have been broken today. The foundation of guidance has been destroyed today. But now we see Imam Ali is writhing in pain. And the blood seeps from his head. He was wearing a yellow amama. And that yellow amama had turned to red with his blood. And it drenched so much that it came to his beard. And his beard became red with his blood. And then we see that as Imam Hassan was holding him in his lap, and these people ran after Ibn Muljim, and they arrested him, and they brought him back. Now Imam Ali in his pain, imagine what adl Imam Ali has and what sense of justice does he have. Imam Ali not only is not concerned about his personal health, but when Ibn Muljim is brought back, they drag him back into the masjid and they had his hands, it was tied in ropes and they were dragging him by the rope. And when Imam Ali saw that situation, he forgot his own personal well-being and said, loosen the ropes on his hands, don't you see it's hurting him? Loosen the ropes on his hands, don't you see that it's hurting him? And they loosened the ropes. And then Imam Ali, see how he's dealing with Ibn Muljim. He asked Ibn Muljim, did I do anything wrong to you? Did I take away your right? Did I hurt you in any way? Did I harm you in any way? Did I do any injustice to you? Ibn Muljim said, No, you haven't. Then you have done this to me. Now Imam Ali gives his dictate to the people and said, if I live, then I will let him go. But if I die, then do the justice that Allah wants, that strike him one time the same way that he has done me. Even then he is not giving his dictation through anger or through his own feelings, but through the sense of justice, that justice must be established, that adl must be established. But this was Imam Ali. But now we see Imam Ali has this thoughts in his mind and his lofty ideals. But now we see Imam Ali, he knows what justice is and he knows what success is. He knows what victory is. All his life he wants won victories for Islam. Everywhere we go, we see Imam Ali was the one who bore the victories for Islam. But he never said, I was successful, that I am successful, that I have won. But on the day that Ibn Muljim hit him on the head, when Ibn Muljim injured him and he knew he was going to die, then he said, Fustu bi Rabbil Kaaba. Fustu bi Rabbil Kaaba. Today I am successful, I swear by Allah I am successful. Those who know about Ali knew what was success. Imam Ali knew what was success. And now we see that how hard it is. How hard it is now that Imam Ali had to be taken back home. Imam Hassan grabs him from one hand. Imam Hussein grabs him from the other hand. And he holds the neck of Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein in order to stand up. Oh Ali, what a time has come to you, Ali. What a time has come upon you. You are the one who bore the victory in Khaybar. It is through your strength that now you see that you took the door of Khaybar and threw it away. You are that powerful lion of Allah. But today we see that you are not able to walk on your own strength. Today we see that you are not able to walk on your own strength. This is how hard it was for the people to see. Imam Hassan was looking at him. Imam Hussein was crying. Everyone was crying. But as the voice reached Zainab and Umm Kulthum, when the voice reached Zainab and Umm Kulthum, they became disturbed. And they see, what is wrong with our father? Zainab came to the door. She was looking out for her father and said, where is my father? What happened to him? And Imam Ali, Imam Hassan and Hussein were holding him. His companions were around him. But imagine what Imam Ali is thinking. My brothers and sisters, what is going on through Imam Ali's mind? He says to Imam Hassan, my son Hassan, come close to me. Imam Hassan lended his ear to Imam Ali. And Imam Ali said, listen my son, tell my companions to go away. Tell my companions to go away. Imam Hassan said, but they love you. They love you. Why do you want them to go away? They're mourning for you. Imam Ali said, don't you see that Zainab and Umm Kulthum would cry for me? And I don't want my companions to hear the voice of Zainab and Umm Kulthum. Oh, how can I tell you, Ali?
Ya Hussein.